With tensions currently high between Moscow and Washington, it's hard to believe that just a decade ago, U.S.-Russia relations were on reset and all about working together.
We got a big arms control agreement done, reducing by 30% the number of nuclear weapons in the world, new sanctions on Iran, a new supply route to Afghanistan, Russia into the World Trade Organization.
That's Michael McFaul. He was President Obama's ambassador to Russia from 2012 to 14. In his new book, From Cold War to Hot Peace, McFaul recalls how relations with the Kremlin went from reset to off the rails.
Obama sent me to Moscow to continue the reset, right? In 2012. I mean, we started to have this conversation in the beginning of 2011 at the height of cooperation. In fact, the peak of cooperation was a very specific moment. I remember it. It's when Medvedev went along with our decision by abstaining in a UN Security Council resolution vote.
And that was when Medvedev was president and Putin was prime minister, correct?
Right. Medvedev supported our military intervention into Libya. Putin did not. And for the first time ever, he criticized his president for being too close to the Americans. But I tell you all that because it was in the height of cooperation that Obama, you know, I wanted to go home. Most academics just spend a couple years in government. My family wanted to go home. And the president said, you can't leave now. We're doing all this great work towards Russia. Why don't you go to Moscow and continue it? By the time I arrived, Putin was running for president and coming back to the Kremlin. And two, there were massive demonstrations against Putin, against falsification in a parliamentary election in December 2011. And so he and his surrogates and his television stations, they began to go after us against America, Obama, and me, blaming us for those demonstrations and literally saying on national television that Obama sent me to Moscow to foment revolution against the Putin regime.
Some of the charges that were leveled against you when you were ambassador, honestly, quite shocking. And I'm just wondering, it's so outlandish. Do you see echoes now of perhaps the 2016 U.S. election and some of what we now call fake news?
Absolutely. The hardest argument was when they accused me of giving money to the opposition and I would say I'm not doing it. And they would Photoshop me, you know, appearing with demonstrators, Photoshop me, campaigning for Alexei Navalny one time. He was just arrested 2 days
right.
ago. The low point, without question, though, was when they put out a video that implied that I was a pedophile. It was early in my tenure. It was shocking, this eerie, strange video. And at the end of it is, McFaul is a pedophile. It appeared first on YouTube. And because I have friends at Google, we reached out to them. They took it down. But it immediately appeared other places. And how do you argue with that? How do you deal with that? I mean, even mentioning it right now, Marco, like, am I now somehow people are listening saying, oh, what does that mean?
Right.
I sometimes don't mention it. And that kind of disinformation, slicing and dicing, taking out the word not in things that I'd published, for instance,
yeah.
that was one thing they used to do. They do that at home, and they were doing it against us in 2012, and then they took it on the road. They went on the offense against our own country in 2016.
So what kind of a toll did that take on you personally?
Well, it was mixed because on the one hand, obviously, nobody likes to be accused of being a pedophile. At the same time, I want to be clear, being the U.S. ambassador in Russia was a fantastic job.
Mm.
People wanted to engage with me even when it was dangerous. I became so popular among young people, Marco, that they banned me from speaking at universities.
Really?
And so, yeah. My house, Spasso House, it has a ballroom that seats over 600 people. So we began inviting those students to my house to do the lectures at Spasso House as a response.
So U.S. and Russia relations, I think you'd agree, are pretty at a pretty low point right now. And now it feels like the United States is almost characterizing an entire Russian nation. Is that where we're at now? Is this kind of like the response? And what's the danger in that?
Well, it is tragic. And I always hope for a different kind of relationship than we have now with Russia. However, I also fear the cartoonization in our own country about Russia, because Russia is a complex society. Not all Russians share Putin's view about the United States and the West. And I worry that we're oversimplifying what I think is, you know, an interesting, complex places where there's still a lot of people that would like a different relationship with the United States who are living inside Russia today. They may not be as vocal as they were before, but they're still present in that society.
Well, one simplification that we've seen in recent months and the last couple of years is we're in a new Cold War. And that leads us to the title of your book, From Cold War to Hot Peace. So we're in this hot peace moment and we're looking at the New START Treaty. It's going to expire in 2021. And without a new deal, we've got these nuclear arsenals unconstrained, and it'll be the first time that way since 1972. Is this a new arms race? And how terrified should we be right now?
Vladimir Putin just last March revealed to the world some truly frightening weapons that they have, offensive weapons that we don't have a response to. We're also in a qualitative arms race regarding missile defenses, and we don't have an arms control regime in place to deal with that. And I think, tragically, we have to get back to the business of arms control like we did in the Cold War to at least make sure that we do not move in much more dangerous ways.
Yeah. And meantime, we think of the useful idiot template so that the Russians love. And President Trump is caught up in the lives of porn stars. There is lawyers. Will he or won't he talk to Mueller? What of the whole ecosystem here that Trump lives in? What effect does that have on Russia right now and their ability, Putin's ability to do what he wants?
So far, the Kremlin is disappointed in what President Trump has delivered, particularly on sanctions. They hoped sanctions were going to be lifted. He hasn't delivered on that. At the same time, the disarray, polarization that we have inside our country, the scandals and investigations, and that which makes us distracted and turning inward as opposed to looking outward, that's all to Putin's advantage. If we're not on the international stage leading, that creates a vacuum that Putin and Russia can fill.
Are your friends, the people you still stay in touch with in Russia, are they uniformly anti-Putin?
No. Obviously, I know opposition leaders. I know Mr. Navalny. I know those kind of people. But I also have friends in the Russian government. I can't travel to Russia right now. I'm on the visa ban list. I'm on the sanctions list. But to be honest, I would like to go back.
What do you miss the most? Like, if you were to land in Moscow right now, what would be the first thing you'd do?
I would get together with some of my politically oriented friends, and we would have a 3 to 4 hour intense conversation in Russian. And my Russian's probably a little rusty now, so I'd have to fight to keep up, talking about the nature of what's going on probably inside Russia. I love lots of things about Russia, but the thing I love the most is the kind of intense friendships that I had. You know, you don't spend a lot of time talking about the weather in your friendships with Russia. And I miss those conversations. I miss them.
Michael McFaul was President Obama's ambassador to Russia. His new book is From Cold War to Hot Peace, An American Ambassador in Putin's Russia. Michael McFaul, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.